Tonight's shiur, Parshas Lech Lecha, starts out, Yomer Hashem El Avram Lech Lecha Miratach Mimolazcha B'Savich Al Arzah She'areka. Midrash, Rashi brings a little bit different girsa. Midrash says, Amar Yochanan, Lama Lo Gila Lo Haris Miyad. Why didn't Hashem tell Avram immediately where he's going to? And so the Midrash, K'nei Lechavava in order to make the land dear to him, and also litain lo sachar al kol psia upsia, in order to give him rewards, we call it schar psias. The more steps he takes going there, he gets schar for every step he takes. So it's an interesting question. Lichuro, and what? And if Avram knew where he was going, he wouldn't get schar psias? Bring you a Gemara, Sota, if you receive a fair. It's not that way. More says in Sota, and Daf Kaf Beis, that there's a Maisa with an Almana, this widow, this woman is a widow, and she used to go daven by the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan asked her one day, he says, I don't understand. Why do you schlep all the way to my Beis Medrash when you have a shul in your shchuna where you live, in your, the area where you live? Why do you bother schlepping to my Beis Medrash? So she answered, and then she says, Rebbe, schar psias. Right? I go to the further place, to your Beis Medrash, even though it's further, because I want schar for the extra steps. So what do we see? Did she know where she was going to? Yeah, but not. She was going to. You still get schar psias even if you know where you're going to. So therefore, why does the Midrash say that Hashem says, I'm not going to tell Avram where he's going till he'll have schar psias? What's the difference? Tell him where he's going, he'll still have schar psias. So the Matnas Kahuna on the Midrash is a very simple answer. He says, of course. But what's the difference? That Hashem knew that if he's going to tell Avram where he's to go, Avram is going to take the quickest route in order to Mekayim the Ratzon Hashem. He says, oh, Hashem wants me to go there? What? Shortcut. Right? Well, Hashem wants me to go to his place. But Hashem wanted to give him extra schar for schar psias. He says, so I better not tell him. If I tell him where he's going, he's going to take the shortest route. I want him to get extra schar psias. Therefore, that's why Hashem didn't tell him. So he said, Pasuk v'eschah l'goy gal gadol, v'arechach v'agol Hashemecha v'yei bracha. So Rashi, one of his perushim here, Davaracher, he says the following. I'll make you into a great nation. This is what we say in our Shemona Asrei Elokei Avram. Vavarechecha, and I'll bless you. Ze she'omrim Elokei Yitzvah. We say Elokei Yitzvah. Vagad l'shemecha, and I'll make your name great. Ze she'omrim Elokei Yaakov. Yaakov yuchosmim b'kulam. I might think that therefore we have Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Therefore, the chasima, the conclusion of the bracha, should be with all of them. It should be Baruch Ata Hashem, Magen Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Talmud Lomar v'yei bracha b'chachot mi'malo b'hem. No, Avraham, only in you is the chasima, Magen Avram, and not Magen Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's the Gemara in Pesachim Rashi brings down. So, question is, what's the one of the things we the Midrash says over here, that Vagad Lashamecha Zeshramim Alokei Yaakov, right? I'm going to make your name great. That's connected that we say Elokei Yaakov. What's the connection between making Hashem's great and name, making Avram's name great and saying Elokei Yaakov? So start by another question. Why do we in fact say Elokei Yaakov? Why don't we say Elokei Yisrael? We know that Yaakov had two names, Yaakov and Yisrael. Yisrael is the higher name. So we should say Elokei Yisrael. Why Elokei Yaakov? So says the Gra the following. How many letters are in Elokei Avraham? Elokei is 4, Avraham is 5, 5 and 4 is 9. Okay, Elokei Yitzchak, 8 letters. Elokei Yaakov, ve'elokei Yaakov, is also 9. So Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzhak, ve'elokei Yaakov, as we say it, is altogether 898, is 26 letters. So that's significant. Shem Yud Kei Vavke, 26. That's why we say Elokei Abraham Yitzhakov, because there's 26 letters, which is, can I get the Shem's name? Fine. I, therefore, that's why we don't say Elokei Yisrael. Because Yisrael is one extra letter. Yaakov has four letters, Yisrael has five letters. That would make it 27. It wouldn't be Hashem's name. That's why we don't say it. So in order that we should say Hashem's the 26 letters, we have to keep say Elokei Yaakov. I, says the Gra, but wait a second. There's a way out. There's a way of still saying Elokei Yisrael and still having your 26 letters. How so? By taking away one letter from Avram. Instead of Avraham, say Avram. Take out the hey. And then you have 26 again. And then you can have Elokei Yisrael and you have your 26. That's impossible. Why? Because Chazal tell us, Gemara says in Brachos, that kol akore la Avraham Avram over balav. You're not allowed, once Avram's name was changed to Avraham, you can't call him Avram anymore. So you can't do that. Ah, now everything's beautiful. Now we can understand what the Midrash says. Vagad lashamecha zeo shomrim Elokei Yaakov. Meaning, why are we saying Elokei Yaakov and not Elokei Yisrael? That's what the Midrash is pointing out to us. Why do we say Elokei Yaakov, not Elokei Yisrael? Because Vagad lashamecha. Because Hashem says, because I made your name not great, but big. Vagad, I made your name big. I changed you to Avraham from Avram. Had I not done that and you would have been Avram, then we could say Elokei Yisrael. But since I made your name big to Avraham, and you can't call you Avram anymore, Mela, that's why we have to say Elokei Yaakov. So Vagad Lashamecha Zel El Shomrim Elokei Yaakov. Pasuk says, and after that, V'yelech Avram Kasher Dibir Elav Hashem. So Avram went as Hashem spoke to him. V'yelech Itol Lot, and Lot went along. V'Avram Bechamesh Shanim Shivim Shanav Zeh Zomechem. And Avram was 75 and left Haran. Zechura, the order of the pasuk is a little bit funny over here. We're talking about Avram first, but Yelech Avram went, right? Kasher Diber Elav Hashem. And then all of a sudden we have stuck in there and Lot went with them. And then back to Avram again, he was 75. We should have just said Avram went, he was 75. And then you want to say after Lot went with them, okay. Why is that the fact that Lot went with them stuck in the middle? So the Zichron Meir says the following. The end of the pasuk is really an explanation of Vayelech Itolot. Meaning, starts off Vayelech Avram Kasher Diber Hashem. Avram went, Hashem told him to go, he went. Vayelech Itolot. Lot went with him. Now the rest of the pasuk is explaining why Lot went with him. That's why that's the pshat. What do you mean? Because it says, and Avram was 75 when he left Haran. Meaning, that's why Lot went with him. Because Lot said, hey, Avram's already 75, he's, you know, getting over the hill a little bit. Meaning, he's gonna, who knows, it's gonna die soon, and he has no heirs except for me. And I want his money. Right? He has no sons, I'm his nephew, I want his money. So that explains why Lot went with them, because Avram was 75 years old. So after Avram came to Eretz Yisrael, then there was a famine in Vayirah Ba'aretz, and he went to Mitzrayim. And the pasuk says, "Vayikasher yikri lava Mitzrayim." He turned to Sarah, his wife, saw that she was beautiful. And therefore, he told her the following: "Imri na achotiyat. I want you to tell everybody you're my sister. Laman yitav liva bereich, and that people should do good for me because of you. V'chaisa nafshi biglalech." So, what does it mean? Tell everybody your sister so that people will do good for me. So Rashi says, that means that they'll give me gifts. Give me gifts. So I have a great plan. You'll tell everybody you're my sister. They're going to want your hand in marriage, some exportation today, and therefore they're going to, you know, bid for you, and I'm going to get up, leave this thing with a lot of money. Right? You're going to give me matanot. Offer me on gifts. So the question is asked, famous question here. It doesn't sound like Avram. Avram's not the one, not the type that wants gifts. Not only that, we see later on in this Sedra, he's totally the opposite. When Melech Sdom wants to give him gifts, he says, here, rechush kachlach, you take all the rechush, you take everything. Avram said, no, I don't want you to say, people to say that you made me rich, I don't want, he didn't take anything, he doesn't want anything. So when all of a sudden over here, Avraham is, he says, yeah, I want people to give me gifts, you know, because of you. Well, it doesn't seem like Avram. It's not a very nice, simple shot from the Bikuria Avram. Says the following, based on the famous Ramban. Ramban says his famous pitgam, maisa avos simon labanim. Right, that what happened to our avos is a sign of what's later on going to happen to the banim, to us later on in history. Meaning, so what happened to Avraham, we see happened to Jewish people afterwards. That Avraham, he went down to Mitzrayim over here, in the future, as we know, we ended up in Mitzrayim, we were slaves in Egypt. But what happened over here when Avraham went to Mitzrayim, Paro took Sarah, and then what happened? He was afflicted with disease or whatever, so the Egyptians were afflicted. Maisava Simulabanim, later on, the Egyptians were afflicted. Because of what happened to Avram, etc., etc. So Mele, the Kuri Avram says, very, very nice. He says, Avram, you know, knew this. My Sabo Simon Labanim. So one of the things that happened in Mitzrayim was what? Vacharechein, sorry, this week said or later on, Vacharechein Neitzu Birchush Gadol. That they were to leave Mitzrayim with a lot of wealth. So Avram wanted to set the stage for Veitzu Birchush Gadol. So My Sabo Simon Labanim, and therefore, he says, we're going to Mitzrayim. Tell your sister, give me matanot. So I'll set the stage for the future. My when we leave Egypt, we'll leave a rechush gadol. We'll have a lot of money when we leave Egypt. Okay. The pasuk says, Perek Yigamel, pasuk Zayin. Vayhi ri ben roe mikne Avram uven roe mikne Lot. There was a fight. Reeve, an argument, quarrel between the shepherds of Avram and that of Lot. And then next pasuk, Vayomer Avram el Lot, Al na tehi miriva beini uveinecha. Let there not be a riva between me and you, between Roi and me, between Riecha, my shepherds and your shepherds, etc., etc., etc. So, it's an interesting diuk. Why does it start off by he reeve, right? Reeve, reshud bet. And between me and you know, there was a re between these shepherds and those shepherds, fine. And then, Avram said to Lot, Al na tehi miriva. What's the difference? Why does it start there was a reeve? And the next pasuk, Avram said to Lot, you know, it's not good that it should be a miriva. Why didn't he say reeve? What's the difference between reeve and miriva? So, answer is based on an al-sheikh. The al-sheikh says like this, what's the difference between reeve and riva? Reeve is when a person starts a quarrel argument with somebody, very often it has grounds. You know, you hold one way, he holds the other way, and there's reasons for this argument. So that's a reeve. But, unfortunately, it doesn't always stop there. It starts with a reeve for a good reason, but then it gets worse and it spreads and then they got off topic and you start arguing about other things and you don't even remember in the end what the original argument was all about and it spreads. That's a miriva. Riva is feminine. Just like a woman represents giving birth, right, going on and on, so too, miriva keeps it spreading more and more and more. That's a miriva. Reeve is initially. Reeve, like that's Lashon's masculine. It's reeve. But then it turns into miriva, feminine. It keeps going and going and going. That's the Yalshik says. So Mele, that's what's going on in the Pasuk. Vayihi reeve, it was a reeve to begin with, between the shepherds of Avram and Lot, because the shepherds of Lot were going in other people's fields or whatever, so they had a right to, you know, start up with them. You know, hey, what are you doing? Whatever. Reeve. But Avram was smart. He said to Lot, Al na tehi miriva beini uveina. Now it's a reeve. But I know the way things go. Things start as a reeve, for good reason, but then it turns into a miriva. It starts that one thing leads to the next, we're getting it into a miriva. And therefore he says, I don't want a miriva, and therefore we have to separate. This, similarly, the Ben Yoyada says in Chuli and Dapeches, he touches up a Gemara that says, Ein olam miskayim ela bishvil mi shebolim atzmo bishas miriva. Says that the whole world of Miskayim for somebody who holds himself back and he doesn't comment, he closes his mouth and it's Shas Miriva. Notice the Lashon Miriva. Says the Ben Yoyada, very similar to what we're saying. He says that sometimes, you know, let's say Reuven starts up with Shimon. And he starts cursing him and says, you know, you're a shrimp and you're ugly and you're poor. And he gets giving all these, you know, nice comments. Now, sometimes Shimon can't answer back. Why? because he can't say, oh yeah, I know you're a shrimp and you're the... because maybe he's not. Maybe he's a tall, handsome, wealthy guy, and he can't say these things back to the, you know, shrimp, and can't say these things back to Reuben. So he says, that's Reev. Again, masculine just ends there. Reuven tells Shimon bad things, and Shimon can't answer because Reuven's got all the milas. Okay? So he's stuck. So it ends there, Reev. Now, the fact that Shimon doesn't answer back to Reuven is no great mila because he has nothing to say anyways. Ah. But, what's Miriva? That's when Shimon has what to say. Because Reuven itself has a bunch of chesronos. So Reuven says things back to Shimon. Shimon could give him back even twofold. But he doesn't. So that's a miriva. Why? Because if he can get back, again, that's feminine, like we said before, that doesn't stop there. He can get back. And therefore, that's a mile if he doesn't. Because he could give back and he doesn't. Mele, that's what the Lashon of the Gemara is. That the law, the world is not miskayim, ela mi, someone who closes his mouth, when? Bishas miriva. When it's feminine, where he could give back and he doesn't, he holds himself back. It's a miriva where he could give. He doesn't. So that's a tremendous mile and the world is miskayim for him. Pasuk says, fine, after this we have to separate. Aaron tells Lot. Okay. So, Vayivchar lo Lot is called Kikara Yarden. So, Lot chooses, looks around, he chooses, he wants the Yarden, Jordan, which is next to stone, as we know. And what happens? Says the Pasuk, Vayisa Lot Mikedem. He went Mikedem. It doesn't say he went Kedem, it says Mikedem. From the east. So what does that mean? He went from the east. So Rashi touches up. Nasa me'etzel Avram. He went from Avram. Mimizracho. Bahalach lo lemaravo. Mikedem, yeah. He went from the east to the west of Avram. Nimsa nosea mimizrach lemarav. Right? He went from east to the west. Good. One small problem, the Reim asks. Anybody knows a little bit about geography, doesn't work. Right? Where was Abraham? He was near Yerushalayim. He was Beit El at this point. Okay? So Beit El is, let's say, pretty much in the middle of the country. Like center, east-west wise. It's pretty much in the center. Okay? Now, where was Lot going to? To Jordan. Right? To the side of the, where is that? East. He's going east. And that's where he went. So how could it be that it says, the Pasuk says, where did he go? Mikedem says, Rashi, he went from east to west. He didn't go west. He went east. He went to the storm, to the Yarden. That's on the east. Beit El's in the middle, and he went east. What's going on? The Reim asked. So the Taz says like this. You see, Lot, you know, it was a smart cookie. You know, he knew that, you know, what is he going to do? He's going to tell Avram, I'm going to go where all the schmutzes, you know, to the Kikar Yarden over there, where there's nus, or as she says, all the gutazah. Right? He's embarrassed, Mistama, as well, to tell Avram at time, know where I want to go? I want to go where the schmutzes. Yeah. So therefore, he didn't tell Avram that. What did he tell Avram? He said, Avram, you know where I'm going to go? I'm going to go to Bnei Brak. Right, I'm going to go and, you know, Chizuk, go to Yeshiva, you know, there, and Mechazik myself, a Shabbaton, and Bnei Brak, right? I'm going west. Going to Bnei Brak, that's west. So Avram was like, sheesh, you know, wow, wonderful, I see you doing Shuvah, Lot, you know, it's great. So what happened? That's what Lot did. Right? In order not to, you know, he didn't want to be embarrassed or to make Avram feel bad, whatever you want, he went west, like Rashi says. She said, okay, Avram, see you later. Waves to him, and he's walking west to the Kivun, the direction of Bnei Brak, until he sees that Avram's out of sight, and then he went back to the Kikar Yarden, where you really wanted to be. Okay. Later on in the Sedra, you have the famous Psukim by the Brisbane of Asarim, Perek Tesvav. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer l'Avram, Yadoa Tedek, Yigiri Yezarecha Beres Lolehem, Bavadum Binu Asam Arba Meyot Shana. So Hashem told Avram Avinu that his children are going to be slaves in a land that's not theirs for 400 years, etc. So the Gemara says, in Sota, Daf Mem Vav,
Mishvil dalet psio shalava paro la Avraham shenemar v'yatzava la paro anashim v'chulei nishtabdu banav arba meyot shana shenemar v'avadu v'inu asam arba meyot shana. Says the Gemara that paro is from our Seder as well, right? When Avram Avinu was in Mitzrayim, and Paro took Sarah, and he was afflicted, etc., and then he sent Abraham off, and he sent him with the Levui, here with an accompaniment. And says the Gemara, that Paro took four steps in accompanying Abraham away with his Levui, he was zoche that the Jewish people will be his slaves for 400 years, potentially. In the end, we know it's 210, which we'll get to in a second. Now, first of all, this is an aside, the Marsha says, what is that supposed to mean? You know, that's not fair. What did Avraham do wrong? Paro accompanied Avraham four steps, and because of that, Avraham's children have to be 400 years as slaves. What did Avraham do? Deserve that it foreigner because Paro escorted him? So he said, no, that's not the pshat. Of course not. The reason why we have to go to Egypt, that was other reasons. As Avram said over here, he questioned Hashem, and he says, B'me'ada ki yirashenu, how do I know I'm going to inherit, etc. Because of that, we were punished, and we had to go down to Egypt. However, Hashem did not mention which nation is going to enslave us. And therefore, that's what the Midrash is telling us over here, the Gemara. That Paro was chosen to be the one, because of what Avram said to Hashem, we had to be punished to go down to Egypt. We have to be nalav dafke Egypt, to the land that's not ours. Which land? That Paro was zoche that he should have slaves. Why? Because he was malave Avram four steps. Now, Daniel Yada says something interesting. He says, you know, we always say a kol tova, you know, everything's for the good. It was also for the good. Why? The dafke, it was Paro who was malave, and it was dafke by him that we were the slaves. Because of that we were slaves by Paro, says the Ben Yada, didn't have to serve so long. Because Paro was so bad that he not only was enslaved us in the daytime, he also enslaved us in the nighttime. So had we been slaves only in the daytime, we would have been in slavery for 400 years. Because he enslaved us double the amount of time, also at night, our slavery was cut almost in half. And therefore, we were only enslaved for 210 years. So it was all with Tova that happened to be Paro, you know, that escorted Avraham, and he was the one that enslaved us. Because of that, we only had to be for 210 years. Okay. Now, I saw a very interesting question this year from the Sefer Meir Einei Chachamim. He says the following. He says, how does this work out with Nebuchadnezzar? Meaning, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin the following. There was the king of Babel at the time when this incident happened. It was Merodach. And he heard of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, that he was very great, and he sent him a letter. And in the letter he wrote the salutation, the opening line, and he says, Shalma, like Shalom to the king, you know, to Chizkiyahu, Shalom to Jerusalem, and Shalom to the great God, to Hashem. So he took a shaliach and he sent this letter, the shaliach to Chizkiyahu. And you know, said other things in the letter, but that was the beginning of the letter. Meanwhile, Nebuchadnezzar, at this point, he was the scribe of the king, Sofer, and he wasn't around. He had heard about this letter that went out, and he said, what? That's not right. How can you write, and the great God, peace to Shalom to the great God, in third place? First, Shalom to the king, Shalom to Jerusalem, and then Shalom to Hashem. Why are you putting Hashem in third place? That's not right. That's not kavod. And therefore, he said, I got to stop this letter. Hashem should be in first place. So he took four steps. So Machloikis in different gears says he took three steps or he took four steps. And then Gabriel HaMalach, the angel, came and stopped him after four steps. And some say, and brought the shliach to him or whatever, and he stopped after four steps. But, says the Gemara, in schus of those four steps that he took in order to, you know, for kavod of Hashem, because, you know, stop this letter that wasn't kavodik, for four steps for the kavod Hashem, he was zoche that we should be, the Jewish people should be in Bavel for 70 years in Galus. Sing more. right? As an aside, it's interesting. First of all, the Gemara says that we were lucky that Gavriel stopped him. Since he only stopped him after four steps, we were 7 years. Had he continued running, that would have been the end of us, right? We were only 7 years. Had he continued running, it would have been the end of us. Agav, it's not interesting. We said the three steps, right? So four steps, three steps, some say four, some say three. The Marsha says something interesting. According to the opinion, it took three steps. Says the Marsha, that's why after Shmona Esrei, what do? We take three steps back and we say, what? Shebana Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because, just to go keneged, Nebuchadnezzar. He took three steps, and because of those three steps, what happened? He was okay to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and have sent us out to Galus and be rule over us for 7 years. So keneged that, we take three steps back and we say, Shebana Beis HaMikdash, and we should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we have the Beis HaMikdash again. Keneged that. I wanted to add to that. It's interesting that Nebuchadnezzar, what direction did he take his steps in? Stama forward. He ran after the Shaliach. So what do? We also take three steps, and we take three steps back. Why? We want to undo what Nebuchadnezzar did. And therefore, we also take three steps, but there are three steps that we take before, and we say, there's three steps back to undo the three steps forward that he took. Which reminds me of a Maisa that heard from Rav Lef. That he said years ago that once he was at a chasana, it was like people are not so frum or whatever at this chasana, and this lady runs up to him after the chuppah and says, "Rabbi, I got to speak to you. I have a big shayla, a problem, whatever." And he says, "Okay, what is it?" You know. So she says, "Listen, I never was at a real frum wedding before, and I'm watching the proceedings, and I noticed that the kala walked seven times around the chasan at the chuppah." So the rabbi's like, "Yeah." So he says, "Well, I didn't do it at my chuppah. I didn't do it. Is it okay? Am I still married?" So Rabbi said, "Yeah, it's a minhag. You know, it's a thing, but you don't worry. You're still married, even though you didn't walk seven times around. You're a chasan. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You're fine. You're married. Everything's good." "Oh, thank you very much, Rabbi. You know." Okay. Thanks. She walks away. All of a sudden, she stops. She comes back. She says, "Rabbi, I have a question." She says, "Yeah." He says, "Tell me something. When a couple gets divorced, does she walk in the other direction?" Anyways, back to our matter at hand. So says the Midrash over here, the Gemara, that in Schus, that Nebuchadnezzar took these four steps, he was zocher 77 years, we should be a slave. So Frank this sefer, Meir Nechachamim, he says, what's the difference? Why is it that Paro took four steps and he was zocher supposed to be four, and the end it was 210 years. Fine, minimum at least 210 years, whereas Nebuchadnezzar took the same four steps and he was zocher only 70 years. What's pshat? So I sort of saw a very cute vort from a sefer called Dole Umashke. He wants to say the following. He says, an average step of a person is a one-third of a person's height. An average step is about one step is a third of a person's height. Now your average person is about 3 amas tall, average, and therefore one step is an amma. Now, Paro, the Gemara says, he was a midget. Paro was only 1 amma in height. He was a third of the height of your average person. Memele, his steps, one third of the normal step of a person as well. So he's a third of the height of a normal person. So Memele, everything's good. What happened? Nebuchadnezzar, he took regular four steps, and he was zocher to what? Seven, he should be a slave. Paro took the same four steps, but for him, four steps, he takes him he takes three times as many steps to make a regular step. So Mele, he took, to make four steps, he has to take three times. He has to take like 12 steps to make a four steps. In other words, three times as many steps. So therefore, again, Nebuchadnezzar was zocher for the four steps, how many years? 70. Paro, who had to take three times as many steps, was zocher for three times as many years. What's three times 70?
210. So 210 years we were in Mitzrayim.
It's a nice pshat also where we're talking about this pasuk. A famous question, but a very pashita answer to a famous question. Before Shem asked, if Hashem told Avram, right, "Vavadum v'inu otam arba'a meyot shana," you know, you're going to a nation that's going to rule over you for 40 years, etc., etc. So the Rishonim already asked, if that's the case, it was a decree. So how and why did Hashem punish the Mitzrayim? There is Mekayim, the what Hashem wanted. Number of answers to the question, but right, Hashem, you know, said they're going to be 400 years. So what right does Hashem have to punish the Mitzrayim when they're just fulfilling the Ratzon of Hashem, who told already Abraham they're going to be in the for 400 years? So it's a nice answer. It's not a mashal. There was a guy that he wanted to build a building. So he had a machsan full of bricks, and he had to bring the bricks into the building site. But he didn't have any tractor, whatever, to bring it. So he had to have people schlep. But he said, who's going to, you know, schlep these bricks? I don't have money to really pay them, whatever. So any cash on hand? So he had an idea. He put out an announcement. He said, anybody that wants can come to my house in such as a time, and eat and drink as much as you want. As much food as you want, all you can eat. Okay? But the condition is that when you finish eating and drinking, you have to schlep X amount of bricks to this building site. So many of the people, especially the poor people, heard this. Oh, wonderful. Oh, great. So they went, they ate, anyway. And then after that, they started going to schlep the bricks. One guy said, I'm not going. So the Balabai says, excuse me? He said, no, I'm not going to schlep any bricks. He said, why? He said, well, look, I mean, you know, I really appreciate the eating and drinks. Very nice of you. But why should you make me schlep these bricks? He says, excuse me, what do you mean, why should I make you schlep? That was the condition. I told you beforehand you can eat and drink, but you have to schlep these bricks. What do you mean, how can I make you schlep these bricks? Says the Rav Reuven Bengis, the following Nivshah. This is beautiful. He says, push it. He said, how could it be that Hashem punished the Mitzrayim, right? He was already decreed that Avram, you know, there'd be slaves, the land that's not theirs, etc., 400 years. He says, very simple. You have to read the next pasuk. It doesn't end there. It says, yes, they're going to be a land that's not theirs, and they're going to serve the 400 years. But the people that they're where they're going to be, they're going to get punished. So it was built into the condition. Hashem said, yeah, a nation is going to enslave you for 40 years, but then I'm going to judge and punish them. So whoever takes up the first part of the pasuk, you have the condition that goes along with it. Yeah, you want to enslave the Jewish people? Fine, but you're going to be punished in the end. You wanted to do it anyways? Fine. But you have to realize it goes together. Let's finish with one last little port. Another famous question. At the end of the Seder, we have the Bris Mil of Avram. So, it's one of these questions, you know, like they have like on Hanukkah questions with 8 days of Hanukkah, you know, 100 answers to the question. Here's another one of these questions that 100 answers to. And that is, everybody asks a question. We know that Avram Avinu kept the whole Torah before it was given, even the mitzvahs of Rabban and everything. So everybody asks the question, if that's the case, if Avram did all the Torah, all the mitzvahs before he was commanded, how come he didn't do Bris Mila before he was commanded? He kept all Torah. So why didn't he do the mitzvah of Bris Mila? It's a mitzvah. He should have done it before he was commanded. But he waited till Hashem had to tell him to do Bris Mila. Why? So many, many, many answers. So share one with you, include tonight. That's the Pardes Yosef. He says in the name of the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer asked the following question. How is it that we can do Bris Mila? Bris Mila, it's a shtickle sakanas nefashos. It ain't this little baby, you know, cutting him up, you know, not an operating room, you know, everybody's millions of people with all the germs, you know, and then breathing on him, and it's like, shtickle sakanas nefashos. LMI, what are you going to say? You're going to say, okay, but you see, most of the time, everything goes okay. So yeah, but we have a rule that when it comes to pikuach nefesh, right, you don't go after the rope. You don't say, well, most people don't die, therefore this is okay to do. No, even if there's a miyu, you don't do it. She has a good question. How can we do bris milu? It's maybe a miyut, or you know, dangerous for a miyut, but we don't go after the rov when it comes to pikuach nefesh. So how can we do bris milu? Says the answer is because of it's a mitzvah. Says it's a mitzvah. The mitzvah is protects. Meila answers the question very nicely, right? Meaning that if it wasn't for the mitzvah, we wouldn't be able to do bris milu because it's pikuach nefesh. It's only because of mitzvah. And the mitzvah protects. Meila, that answers the question. Why didn't Avram do bris mila before he was commanded? Because he was not allowed to. Why? Because pikuach nefesh. I mute, whatever, you don't go after Rov. It's dangerous. He couldn't do it. And even us, the only reason why he could do it is because of the mitzvah, but Avram didn't have a mitzvah yet. Therefore he had to wait till he was commanded. Oh, now he has the mitzvah, and the mitzvah can protect him, and then he doesn't have to worry now about the pikuach nefesh. Rizoicha to keep the bris of Avram Avinu, along with all the other mitzvahs, and the bisoche to the coming of Mashiach, Tzidkenu, Mimhir, V'yameinu, Amen.